cryptomantic call from out of the past. Stories strange and weird.
Tales of mystery and terror by radio's masters of the macabre.
Stories of the supernatural, the supernormal, dramatized by fantasy, the mystery, the unknown. We tell you this frankly. So if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these madmen, play, we urge you, humbly, sincerely, to turn off your radio now.
Welcome to another episode of The Horror. Thank you for joining me. As always, we'll hear this time from Theater 1030, Canadian series I don't have a lot of information about. It aired from 1968 through 1971 on CBC stations. The episode we'll hear today is titled The Wendigo. Here's Theater 1030.
Time to tell tales of the unaccountable, of apparitions by night and phantoms and shadows. Time to tell strange stories of fantasy and the supernatural. Theater 1030 presents The Wendigo, a strange tale of the supernatural by George Salverson, from a story by Algernon Blackwood, and starring Ed Wilson as Simpson and Robert Christie as Dr. Cathcart.
That's an explanation.
An explanation? They say it carries you along. It comes and calls and carries you along.
Doctor.
It comes and calls to you out of the silence in the voice of the bush. The voice of wind and water and the cries of animals.
Doctor, please.
The perfume of it drenches you, chokes you, sickens you. The perfume of the dead and stinking vegetation. And you have to go. It calls you, carries you, rushes you away through the bush so that your feet burn like fire.
Doctor,
it carries you in great leaps to your destruction. Your feet burning, the wind bursting the blood vessels behind the eyes. And then you become an animal, a living, a dead thing, like the thing itself.
Please,
and,
stop it, Doctor.
And then it drops you, and you stagger away to die.
Doctor, stop it. Remember what you told me. There is an explanation.
I am wrapped around with a wall of silence. The silent snow, the silent trees, the silent forest. Silent wall of wilderness. They all listen. The listening snow, the listening trees. There is something out there in the forest, and they listen for its voice.
There was the time of the wolf in Rat Portage. They tell this story many times of DeFago. The time I fight the wolf with his bare hands. Shall I tell you that one, huh?
With your bare hands?
Go on, DeFargo. We don't doubt your fallacy for a moment.
Thank you, Doctor. Funkwa, where's that old Indian?
I was here a moment ago.
Funkwa! Come back here and stir up the fire.
Well, what about this wolf?
I'm sorry for this one, I tell you. This wolf who makes the big mistake. He picks a man who is afraid of nothing, who knows the woods better than the wolf himself.
That's when it began. DeFargo the guide in slouch hat and moccasins, spinning his yarns by the campfire. A breath of wintry wind stealing out of the forest to rustle the tent flaps and stir the blaze. Our Indian cook somewhere in the shadows. Dr. Cathcart watching DeFargo with cynical eyes. And the fourth of our hunting party, myself, Ray Simpson, nervous and tense, as though expecting the thing that was about to happen.
I come many miles on the snowshoes that time. I'm very tired. I say to myself, DeFargo, my boy, you will sit here a while, you'll rest. But then I am sleepy. And what do you know, I am sound asleep in the snow. Now, this is not at the best of times the very best of ideas, you understand. What do you think? Along comes this Mr. Wolf. He looks at me and he tells himself, how magnificent. What a triumph. Here is a man, says Mr. Wolf, who's overcome by the cold. And what a pleasant meal I will make myself. But he is so wrong. I open my eyes and there is Mr. Wolf looking into my face with his long white teeth already. So I say,
hi. What is it?
Hi.
What's the matter with you, man?
Listen.
What is it, DeFog?
What are you listening for?
Are you trying to get a ride out of us? Quiet!
No, not a thing.
You heard nothing in the bush.
No.
Stop this little game. You can't frighten me with this nonsense, DeFargo, but you scared the living daylights out of Ray.
You heard nothing but the wind?
Yes, that's all.
Did you smell something just then?
Smell something? Really, not DeFargo.
Only the fire. Why? What is it?
It was nothing. With my imagination. Funqua! Yeah, wave that Indian. The fire will go out.
You'll probably find him in your tent, hiding from the Wendigo after your little performance.
Funqua! You know that story then, Doctor.
Well, I'm interested in other things besides medicine and hunting moose. For example, native superstitions and the vagaries of the human mind. That's why you don't take me in with your little game.
Little game?
Of course. The dark forest full of unseen things surrounding us, the fire fading, working on the imagination. And then you decide to play your little trick. Very childish, DeFargo.
If it does not disturb you, then why are you angry?
Childishness always irritates me, DeFargo.
Doctor, what was that you mentioned? The Wendigo?
Just some Indian nonsense.
Yes, that's all. Funqua! I better look for that fella. I will have a look in the tent.
All right. It's a very queer thing, Doctor.
Tomfoolery.
You think he was there?
Certainly.
Breaking off in a story that way and staring wildly into the bush.
Well, don't you think he was acting?
He went white to the gills. Didn't you see his eye?
Nonsense, boy. That man has lived his whole life in the bush. There's nothing here to frighten him. Unless he's superstitious like that Indian.
Superstitious?
Well, you could see that, couldn't you, eh?
No, Doctor. I couldn't tell anything from Punkler's face. It was like trying to read the expression on a piece of old letter.
He didn't want us to come up here. Said we wouldn't find so much as a fresh trail of moose anywhere in the 50 Island Water Country.
Well, we have.
We will.
It's funny.
What?
Well, this afternoon when DeFargo went off into the bush looking for signs of moose, I couldn't help thinking, Doctor, what would we do if he didn't come back?
What do you think we'd do? We'd go home without him.
Do you know the way?
You're talking foolishness, Ray. Why would DeFargo disappear? He didn't. He's here.
Yes. All the same, I had a feeling of what it would be like to be alone at the mercy of all this desolation that takes no notice of man.
What is it, DeFargo?
It's the old fool. That's what it is.
Where is he? What's he doing?
It's what we will be doing. From now on, we have no cook. The hunters will have to be cookers, too.
Why?
What's happened?
Superstitious old fool. He's taken one of the canoes.
What for? Where's he going?
I know that one. He's gone. He's gone. Home.
Then it's your own fault. Probably scared him witless with that little game of yours.
But, Doctor...
Now you'll have to figure out how we get along without him. Well, as for me, I'm turning in. We'll be up with the sun, DeFargo. And I expect less nonsense and more results tomorrow.
Good night, Doctor.
I'll be along in a minute.
DeFargo, what was Punkwa afraid of?
Who knows? Sometimes in the wilderness, men become sick with a strange fever, a fever which makes them mad. Maybe he's afraid of that. Do you hear something?
Only wind?
Yes, only wind. Good night.
Good night, DeFargo. I saw DeFargo move off to his tent with the lantern spilling 100 moving shadows into the trees. I lay beside Dr. Cathcart on the bed of balsam boughs. And I felt a shadow lying between us. Not a shadow of the night, a shadow of the strange fear that had leaped upon DeFargo in the middle of his joking. It crept through the canvas from the world of crowding trees. I felt in my soul the profound stillness of a primeval forest when no wind stirred. Then I slept. Or so I thought. No. I was lying with my eyes open, listening intently.
with the running of my blood beating drums in my ears.
Ray. Doctor. What is that sound?
Listen. What? It's from the other tent. It's DeFargo.
The fool is dreaming.
I'll see if he's all right. DeFargo. DeFargo, what's the matter? Are you awake? DeFargo. DeFargo, you're dreaming. Oh, that's better. What is this? A man sobbing like a child while this whole awful wilderness of woods listens? DeFargo, what is it?
I hear it.
What is it?
Quiet!
Something's happening to DeFargo.
Keep still.
I'm going out.
No!
Let go.
Stay where you are.
I've got to help DeFargo.
Will you stay where you are? Will you keep quiet?
Listen to me.
What?
Our guide, Dr. DeFargo, he's gone. We're alone. What was that, Doctor? What is it that happened?
We crept from our tents like terrified children. The gray light of dawn was dropping cold and glimmering between the trees. The lake was white beneath a coating of mist, the islands rising darkly out of it like prowling creatures. Patches of snow glistened among the clearest spaces of the bush. DeFargo's tent stood empty, lifeless, and there was nothing but silence. Silence and a strange, penetrating perfume invading the nostrils and taking me by the throat like an unseen hand.
There's nothing here at all.
No.
Not a sign of anything.
No.
Only his footsteps.
Footsteps.
There in the snow.
Yes.
So far apart. He must have been leaping like a rabbit. What was it, Doctor?
What was it?
Something came.
Mm. No.
Something came for him. Something called.
Nonsense.
You heard it, Doctor. You know you heard
it. I heard nothing. Yes. I heard something. Wind. That's all it was, wind.
Wind? Where did you ever hear a wind like that?
I tell you, it was wind. That and your imagination. DeFargo carrying on like that, it was enough to make you imagine anything.
And why did you hold me back?
What do you mean?
You know what I mean, Doctor. When I wanted to go out and help DeFargo, why wouldn't you let me go?
I had reasons. Two reasons. Yes, yes, two good reasons.
What reason?
I knew what that sound was. It was some sort of hurricane. I thought it'd safe us not to move. And I could hear that DeFargo was going mad. He might have harmed you.
Nothing was disturbed, not a leaf. What kind of a hurricane is
that? How do I know? He'd probably pass overhead.
Then where is DeFargo?
Yes. That's the point. We can't get out of this country without him.
We've got to find him and help him.
DeFargo!
That's no good. He's beyond earshot.
How do you know?
Because we heard him go, shouting all the way. We'll have to follow his trail. Come on.
Doctor.
Well?
We heard him run clear out of range of our hearing.
What about it?
How far would we hear him shouting like that?
I don't know. Half a mile.
But, Doctor, it all took about 15 seconds.
15 seconds?
How fast can a man run?
Ah, there's the end of the trail.
No more snow.
The trees are too thick for it here, and of course that's the way he chose to run.
How will we find it?
He must have been tearing himself to pieces rushing through the bush like that.
He's got some
No, Val, this is no use. We'll only lose ourselves.
Without DeFargo, we're lost anyway. We've got to keep after him.
No, listen to me.
DeFargo!
Now, listen, Ray, we must stop running around like frightened, superstitious women.
And what do we do?
We're going back to camp. We're going to organize ourselves for a systematic search.
You're so rational. You're so ready with explanations. How do you know we'll ever find
him? We can't be far.
How can you explain it all away, Doctor? He's rushing away so fast. The crazy words he was using, that perfume in the air and that sound, you can't explain.
Ray, there's an explanation for everything. We are going to keep our heads, or we'll lose them like the father. Now, let's get going.
The second time we set out from camp, we took food and matches. Dr. Cathcart carried the new 303 rifle, of which he was so proud. And I took a hatchet, blazing the trees as we traveled in a wide sweep in search of DeFargo's trail.
Hey, what is it? Come and look. Here it is.
We found it.
Yes. Those are the tracks of human feet, sure enough.
DeFargo's.
Yes. What? But what's this beside them?
Beside them?
Yes, look here.
Oh, animal tracks.
There you have your simple explanation for the whole affair, Ray.
What? How does that explain anything?
Those big marks have been left by a bull moose. Now, I know what happened.
Well?
The wind against it, the moose blundered into camp. He uttered a cry of alarm, which we heard in the wind. DeFargo heard it, too, in his sleep. Remember the nightmare he was having?
Yes, but why did he...
He's a superstitious fellow. And that Indian had filled him with stories about the Wendigo. He suffered a temporary derangement, perhaps nothing more than panic. Now he's tracking the animal.
Yes.
Ah, we have nothing more to fear. Ah, let's take a breather. And a bite of food before we go on.
Oh, you were right. You were right. There is an explanation for everything, Doctor. And if you knew the kinds of explanation that have been going through my mind.
I know. Here. Take a couple of sandwiches.
Thanks, Doc.
Mm-hmm. I've got the water there and parched.
Mm-hmm. Here.
Thanks. It's a relief.
That's the second time you've mentioned this Wendigo thing. What is it, Doc?
Oh, holy nonsense.
Yeah. Indian legend of some sort.
Well, about the size of it.
Oh, it's funny the comfort I feel. Sitting on a stone in the middle of nowhere, looking at DeFargo's footprints.
Yes, telling such a normal story. Mm. Not a thrilling moose.
It's a Wendigo thing. Did it have something to do with Punkwa dessert?
Perhaps. Hmm?
What sort of a thing is it supposed to be, Doctor?
Well, in this part of the country, when an Indian goes mad, they say he has seen the Wendigo.
Oh. The Wendigo is a state of mind.
Yes, you would call it that. There is no such thing?
No such thing?
Well, they say, they say out here are spaces no man can penetrate. This creature lives there. It's Wendigo.
Creature?
The Wendigo. Huh? They say it's a kind of animal. It's a state of mind.
A kind of animal? Doctor, look here.
What is it?
The moose tracks. He must be a big one.
You're right.
Round tracks. Look here. Does this look like a hoof mark to you?
No.
Caribou?
Oh, that would be hoof marks.
Bear?
No, it isn't bear.
Doctor, I think we'd better get moving again.
Yeah.
You loaded it, Doctor.
It's a bear track.
Is it?
What are you doing? Why are you kneeling there?
I thought I smelled something.
You're acting like a fool. You want to lose your mind like DeFargo?
You think he's gone after all?
No, I told you what that was. Get your nose out of that track! You're out of your mind!
Dr. Cathcart, don't you think we should turn back?
Why do you talk such nonsense?
There's perfume in that track.
Oh. If you let your mind go like that, there's no knowing what you'll imagine next. We've lost enough time. We've got to find DeFargo.
Went on mile after mile. I dreaded the essential tapping of the axe on the massive trunks. The sound went before us into the dim forest where something was waiting and listening. The doctor pressed on, faster and furious, like a man who denies something he really believes. And the tracks became increasingly strange and unbelievable.
There's an explanation.
an explanation.
How much did you measure?
18 feet. 18 feet from one step to the next.
Well, let's check back. We must be missing some tracks.
No, there it is in the snow. DeFargo took 18-foot leaps.
He'd been lifted and carried.
Lifted and carried by what?
The beast.
That's what they say. They say it carries you along. It comes and calls and carries you along.
Doctor?
It comes and calls to you out of the silence. The voice of the bush, the voice of wind and water and the cries of animals.
Doctor, please.
The perfume of it drenches you. Chokes you, sickens you. The perfume of dead and stinking vegetation. And you have to go. It calls you, it carries you, and rushes you away through the bush so your feet burn like fire. That's what he said, the feet of fire.
Doctor, don't
please. It carries you in a great screaming leap to your destruction, with your feet burning and the wind bursting the blood vessels behind the eyes. And then you become an animal, the living dead thing like the thing itself. And it drops you, and you stagger away to die.
Dr. Cathcart, will you stop it, please? This is not like you. Remember what you told me. There is an explanation.
Yes, an explanation. Let's look ahead. Check those footprints.
And the animals. Yes. Now, it just may be that our eyes are playing us tricks, sir. Or else...
Yes? Yes, Ray. What is it?
Those aren't DeFargo's footprints.
What?
We've lost them somehow. Where did he go?
Lost them? How could we lose them?
And they end here, both sets.
There! You see, we didn't lose them. There are still two sets of tracks.
Where did they go? Up in the air? Yeah,
there's an explanation.
An explanation. And those aren't DeFargo's. Look. There were two animals here. We've lost DeFargo somewhere back.
No, we haven't. Those are DeFargo's. This is the end of the trail. This is where he left him.
Then where is he?
DeFargo! Don't call him! Don't call him!
The big trees closed in on us like gangsters. I steered around with no power of thought, no judgment. The feet that printed the surface of the snow had come this far, and then nothing. And here were DeFargo's prints, neat, round duplication of the strange animal track. The feet that produced them had therefore changed, and my mind reared up with loathing and incredulous bewilderment.
Don't call him. Don't.
Doctor, get hold of yourself.
We're going back.
But we have to find him.
We'll never find him.
We'll die in these woods without
him. That's better.
Better? Why?
I tell you, we're going back. We have to give it up.
But, Doctor, please.
We have to give it up.
Go. All right, then. Let's go back.
Good. If we hurry, we can make the camp by nightfall.
Yes, of course.
We'll have it all explained. You see, Ray,
yes,
hopelessly lost when it happens in these woods, even with a man like DeFargo. Then there's no chance.
We've done it.
There he is.
What? Coming through the woods. It's DeFargo, Ray. It's DeFargo. DeFargo!
It isn't DeFargo.
It is DeFargo! You see?
No. It isn't DeFargo.
Yes.
Not anymore.
What do you mean?
Keep him away. Keep him away.
Please. Doctor, put down that gun.
Keep him away, Doctor!
You're mine.
It's all a lie.
Give me that gun.
All a lie! Superstition, I defy you! Doctor, enjoy it.
It's all in the mind. You're nothing.
Here it comes, and it's nothing.
Listen to it come. It comes for me. I'm coming. Oh, the fire. The fire. The fire. Oh, the fire.
There's DeFargo here in the snow. He looks no different. Except that he's dead. And I'm alone. I'm wrapped with a wall of silence. The silent snow. The silent forest. The silent wall of wilderness. They all listen. Listening snow. The listening trees. There is something out there in the forest. And they listen for its voice.
Theater 1030 has presented The Wendigo, a tale of the supernatural by George Salverson, based on a story by Algernon Blackwood. In the cast, Robert Christie as Dr. Cathcart, Ed Wilson as Simpson, and Murray Westgate as Defago. Sound effects were by John Fliz. Technical operation, Robert Burt. This is Bill Lawrence speaking.
This episode of The Horror, and speaking of theaters, we'll hear from Theater 5 this coming Saturday. In the meantime, there's more old-time radio between now and then. Visit RelicRadio.com to find past episodes of this show. All the other shows and everything else, Relic Radio, our forum, Facebook page, Outcast stream with even more old-time radio, and a link to the donate button if you'd like to help support it all. Thank you very much to those who have. It's how we keep going. And thank you very much for joining me today. Talk to you again Saturday with another episode of The Horror. The Horror is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.